Krishna Stai Vudale, Srimada Bhakti Pananda Swam, Namani Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharani, Nivashesha Shunyabadi, Paschatate Shatarni. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 26th Chapter, Text 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kva Sapta Hayano Malaha Kva Mahadri Vitaranam Tato No Jayate Shonka Vraja Nata Tavatmache Vasapta Hayano Balaha Kvamahadri Vidaranam Tato no Jayate Shanka Brajana Tatavatmaje Vasaptayano Balaha Vamahadri Vidaranam Tatono Jayate Shanka Rajanata Davatmaje Vasaptayano Balaha Vamahadri Vidaranam Tato no Jayate Shanka Rajanata Tavatmache. Okay.
Thank you.
That's the best pronunciation. Kva. Where in comparison? Saptahayanaha. 7 years old. Balaha. This boy. Kva. Where? Mahadri. Of the great mountain. Vidaranam. The lifting. Tataha. Thus. Naha. For us. Jayate. Arises. Shonga. Doubt. Brajanata. O master of Braja. Tava. Your. Atmaje. Concerning the sun. Translation, on the one hand, this boy is only 7 years old. And the other, we see that he has lifted the great hill, Govardhan. Therefore, O king of Braja, a doubt about your son arises within us. So you can repeat, on the one hand, this boy is only 7 years old. And on the other, we see that he has lifted the great hill, Govardhan. Therefore, O King of Braja, a doubt about your son arises within us. So there's no purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, so I'll just read just Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport, and we will comment a little. Already they have described Krishna holding up Govardhan. They repeat the description again in this verse because of their astonishment. So, in other words, there's two mutually contradictory things going on here. You know, here's Atmaja, you know, he's born of Nanda Maharaj. He's apparently immortal. You know, we're born of Tava Atmaja. We're born of our father, and we're mortal. Our body undergoes all these different changes, wonderful changes. We're born, we grow, or the body grows. The body maintains itself. It has byproducts. I won't tell you what byproducts are. There's some of the byproducts here. One byproduct, where's the other byproduct? Anyways, the body has byproducts. It sort of starts to disintegrate, and then finally death. So you have these six changes. So, and the body's limited. You know, like if I were to try to pick up, not go even go over on a hill, but, you know, try to pick up, let's say, a few hundred pounds, I'd probably, my hernia would come out again. And Krishna's picked up this big Govardhan hill, no hernia. I mean, it's just amazing. And, you know, what to speak of breaking the bones in your body, you know, and everything like that. Of course, we do find powerful living entities within this world who are able to do amazing things, like in the Ramayana, which I've been reading a lot, and I love the Ramayana because I'm a Ram Bhakta. See, I'm Ram Bhakta, not Krishna Bhakta. So you have Ravan who picks up Mount Kailash. It's interesting. He picks up Mount Kailash to harass Lord Shiva, to show Lord Shiva he's more powerful. And then Lord Shiva puts his little toe down and crushes Ravana's arms. And Ravana has to chant a whole bunch of prayers to Lord Shiva to pacify him. And then he gets some benediction by Lord Shiva. So you do see some powerful abhinetis, but they're coming from higher entities or, you know, great sages, and they have mystic powers and things like that. But not the sort of contradiction you see here. And even in Ram's pastimes, you have... Sorry about dealing with Ram. I apologize, Mother Oberlin. So even in Ram's pastimes, you have these amazing... I was reading one story last night about Ram. Ram, 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 Sita Ram, Sita Ram. I guess I'm in the wrong temple. So I was reading one story about Ram last night. It's such an amazing story. So Lord Vishnu's carrier's name is Garuda. Garuda. And Garuda is, you know, he's pretty familiar with Lord Vishnu, and he does get proud from time to time. There's many stories about that. One of them is in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, but that's not applicable to today's class. So what happened during the pastimes of Lord Ram is that Indrajit, the son of Ravan, was firing these arrows that contain the sons of Kadru. Who are the sons of Kadru? Does anyone know? Yeah, some good guys, but I'm not talking about the good guys right now. I'm talking about the bad guys. Anyway, I know, those are the good guys. But I like the bad guys. Kelly is a nice devotee. He protects the devotees in Fiji. So he was firing these arrows that contained some of the sons of Kadru, the snakes. And they actually enveloped Ram and Lakshman. And Ram and Lakshman were just lying there completely helpless. Everyone's thinking, you know, they're going to die. You know, get snakes around you and they bite and all sorts of nice things like that. And so what happened is that Garuda had to come. And it's interesting, Garuda is such an elevated soul that when he flaps his wings, no, don't answer, Mother Ermila, please. You know, there's other people in class. When he flaps his wings, what happens? Wait. Yeah, the Vedic liturgy, you know, Sama Veda. Woo! You know, pretty cool. You know, here, a normal bird flap his wings is just useless. So, you know, such a great... So he comes down and he gets rid of the sons of Kadru, you know, the snakies. And then they go away. And he frees Ram and Lakshman. And then this is such an interesting story that he becomes bewildered, just like, you know, you see the coward men here in Braj. He becomes bewildered. What is he thinking? He's thinking, I freed them. Some people say he's God. Huh? I don't think he's actually God. How could he be God if I freed him? He's thinking, you know, just like, and he goes to Narada Muni. He says, I got some problems, spiritual problems. Just like, I mean, let's give a modern example before I continue with the story, that sometimes we get the question, and it's a very common question, you know, people come into the temple and they see the deities. And people say, what's that? And then we say, it's God. Or he's God. Or she's God. Not it. It's God. Hare Krishna. I like chanting Hare Krishna. I remember the first time I came into the temple was in Boston, 1922. And people were dancing and jumping up and down. And I said, you know, what are they doing? They're dancing in front of God. And they were going up. This is the Boston Temple. And I mentioned this in my evening class several times, and I thought it was a really sweet thing that we should do here, that once a week they would actually go up and talk and tell the deities what they had done during that week. Wow! It was a kirtan going on. You know, they had a kirtan or bhajan going on, and the devotees would individually go up and reveal to the deities, you know, this week I broke the regulator principles. Not really. This week, I read the Bhagavatam, whatever it is. And I just think, this is the weirdest thing. I said, stone or metal. And then, of course, dancing around the bush was the killer. And so, you know, the question, the people are just shocked. You know, God means he's greater than the greatest, bigger than the biggest. He can't even have a body. What to speak of a body on your altar? You know, how is that? That God can do that? You know, because a body is limited. Of course, I always reply when we talk about a body being limited. I say that if God didn't have a body, he'd be limited. He must have a body And have an unlimited aspect too, you know, both things. Because if you say God only has a body, or God only is unlimited, you're limited either way. Either way, you're limited. So it means he must have everything. And he must have inconceivable potencies. In the first verse of the Bhagavatam, we even find the statement, Muyanti Yat Surya, that even the demigods get bewildered by this stuff. What to speak of somebody walking into the Hare Krishna temple for the first time? That they get bewildered, you know, oh my God. So, of course, there's many explanations about the deities, that Krishna is the expert electrician. He can, like an electrician, can change heating, electricity into heating or to cooling, like Prabhupada gave that example. Prabhupada also gave the example of what the post office. We don't have mailboxes anymore, at least as far as I've seen. But they used to have these mailboxes. If the mailbox was authorized, you drop your mail in the mailbox, and it actually is the same as giving it to the post office or the postman or the post person or post lady. So, many ways to explain that, but it's still inconceivable. It's really inconceivable. I mean, so many inconceivable things, even in this mature world. I was thinking about this last night, that how is it that God has put all these inconceivable mechanisms into one cell, all these different cells in our body? And, you know, this is one of my favorite topics, that we talk about all these different, like the connations and all these different weird things. And then, I'm looking a lot into genetics recently because of the vaccines. You know, you got these anti-vaxxers, so I have to research and see what are they saying, like that. And so it's just incredible, the complexity on the atomic scale and the quantum level. And so it's inconceivable. The material world's inconceivable, what to speak of God. You know, like that story the Prabhupada tells about how Narada Muni told the cobbler, and he told the Brahma that God was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle back and forth, and then the Brahman was incredulous about the whole thing, and the cobbler understood because God could put a whole tree into a seed. So, anyway, getting back to the story of Garuda, which is actually an amazing story. So he goes to Narada Muni, and he's proud. Because actually when you're proud, there's a problem. That you think you know. You know, you can get advice from anybody, and upadesho himorkanam prakopayana shantaye. That means don't give a fool good advice, because then they make it makes them angry. Ashantaye, you know. So therefore you got to be careful who you give advice to. I know this as a guru. I had to be real careful about giving advice to disciples, because it's like treading on thin ice. Otherwise they get upset. So Guru, he tends to be proud, and when you're proud, you can't really accept that things are inconceivable, because you want to fit everything within your tiny little brain and understand everything. And we find even in the case of Anantashesh, that Anantashesh tries to understand or come to the end of the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the Lord's glories are expanding unlimitedly at every single second, so even he can't understand what's going on. You know, even Krishna gets bewildered seeing Radharani's love for him. And the only way he can understand or attempt to understand is to actually take on her mood. So we even see the Lord, you know, what's happening here? I want to understand her love. I want to enjoy from her perspective. So I better do some role-playing here. And that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Garuda is very proud. And being proud, you can't accept that something's inconceivable. It's just like, you know, how can he be God? So he goes to Narada Muni. And Narada Muni says, you better go to see Lord Shiva. So he goes to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva says, well, I got a way for you to figure it out, but I'm not going to tell you. You got to see this crow, this is Bhushandi crow. Actually, he's a famous crow. You hear about him in many of the different pastimes, even in the pastime of the Jagannath temple, that King Indradunya made the temple, and then he, for some time, it was covered up, and there was another king, Gala Madhava, something like that, who claimed the, and then there was a crow who saw the whole thing, and that was the famous Bhushandi crow. Yeah, so he's lived for a long period of time. So, but the thing about the crows, you hear this description in the Bhagavatam that, if we don't recite the pastimes of the Lord, we're talking about mundane things, then it's like, what is that Sanskrit for that? Avayasam Tirtha, Avayasam Tirtha. It's like a pilgrimage place for crows. Now, in America, we don't understand that. So let's just use another point. It's a pilgrimage place for vultures, if you're in North Carolina. But if you go to India, I remember one time I was in Jagannath Puri, and right next to the hotel we were staying at, it was the garbage dump. And there were crows. There were crows so big they could carry off your cat or dog. I mean, they were maha crows. So, but they go to filthy places. And the opposite of a crow is a what?
Swan,
which goes to a clean place. It takes even filthy stuff and can take the nectar from a filthy place and you can purify. So here's a crow. And there's Garuda, right? So Garuda is told, you better go see this crow. He'll actually enlighten you about how Ram is God. And so Garuda flies, Om Namo Bhagavate, whatever, Samaveda. He flies and sees the crow, and he has to bow down to a crow to actually understand that it's Ram, to see through that contradiction. So the point I'm making is that one has to actually be really humble to be able to maybe not understand these things thoroughly, but to accept these things. Because really, of course, one of my favorite verses, Janmaishvarya Sridhasya Sribir, Idamana Adapuman, Shutasya. We are very attached to our ability to understand things. Oh, here's another example from the Ramayana. That you have my good friend Ravan. And Ravan, he just couldn't face the fact that this hermit, that's Ram, in case you can figure that out, this hermit was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, even though everyone was telling him that. Even Indrajit, that his son was fighting with Lakshman, and he was defeated by Lakshman. Actually, there's an interesting story that he saw all the weapons, the most fierce weapons of all the demigods, just not even affect Lakshman. And so he went to Ravan and he said, Sakshad Narayan, he's directly Narayan. And Ravan, he didn't really accept that. At one point, of course, in the movies it shows one thing, but I'm talking about the book. The movie, it shows that he may be Narayan, but, I'm still going to fight with him because, I'm supposed to be a hero. But he just doesn't accept it. The contradiction there that some guy who's been kicked out of the kingdom, can be God. It's impossible. Okay. And then ultimately, he loses his life, gets liberated. And then there's another interesting story. Sorry, we're not talking about Krishna and Vrindavan. I apologize. So apologize. You know, I'm not that advanced in Krishna consciousness. So there's another story about another bewildering thing. This is about a demigod. Of course, this is the head demigod who's a pure devotee. His name is Lord Brahma. And, you know, there's some trouble in the universe. He's thinking. And something comes out of his nose. Can you imagine? You know, something comes out of your nose. You know, he's in his high position. The things that come out of his nose are much better than the things that come out of our nose. And then it starts to expand. And expand. He, not just it. Starts to expand and expand and expand. And it's a big bore. And he expands more. He says, "What is happening here?" I mean, it's actually incredible how the Lord appears in so many amazing ways, and it's just like, how is this possible? And Prabhupada also gives the example, like in Lord Kapiladeva's appearance, he says he appeared from the semen of Kardama Muni. So how is it possible, you know, just, you know, these little seminal particles, whatever they are, you know, they're swimming around like... the Lord appears in so many amazing... Well, you know, out of a pillar, you know, how is it possible for God to appear out of a pillar? If you think about all these different ways that Krishna appears, not just from Nanda Maharaj, Atmajan, Abhija, of course, also Vasudeva and Devaki, that... You know, how do you deal with all these contradictions? Or God is bigger than the biggest, or Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam Jagadavyakta Murtina Matstani Sarvabhutani Naham Teshva Vastata. By me, I pervade everything. And then Krishna, Mother Yashoda, looks inside Krishna's mouth and she sees Krishna and herself. And then to see if there's dirt, and there's plenty of dirt in there. I mean, these things are just inconceivable. I mean, talk about a Zen koan. You know what a Zen koan is? A Zen koan is like, in Zen Buddhism, they give you this thing to think about that just blows your mind. Like, what is the sound of one hand clapping? That's nothing. Isn't it? That's nothing compared to, like, you know, God comes out of someone's nostril. Whoops. Confirmed. It's really confirmed. So the main thing is that Krishna is beyond the cause and effect of this material world. And we just have to accept the fact of achintya. You know, we can explain certain things using metaphors, the chintya veda veda tattva. Krishna's one and different from everything inconceivably, you know, whatever, like the sun and the sunshine and the personality in the sun. You know, I understand all those examples. But really, the whole thing is just inconceivable because the Lord's energies and the Lord's manifestation, the Lord's power, because he's God. He's beyond time and space. He's beyond the law of cause and effect, just like in the first verse of the Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Nadi Radir Govinda Sarva Karana Karnam. And that's why one reason people just can't understand. Because there has to be a cause to something in this world. This world is a world of cause and effect. And that's how scientists analyze things. But Krishna is beyond, he's the cause of all causes, and he has no cause. How is that possible? It's not, materially. So, anyway, so this is what's going on with the coward men, and it goes on with us, and it goes on with our preaching to people, too. I've seen that. It's really, you have to really be able to explain it to people how, you know, God could be there on the altar. God be there in his holy name, Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukto, Vinatvam Namanamanyo. Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, isn't it? He's fully there. How God is in your heart. How everything is within God, and God is within you, simultaneously. How Goloka Eva Nivashita, Goloka Eva Nivashita, Akilatma Vuta. How Krishna is everywhere and he never leaves Vrindavan. How Krishna can do unlimited things simultaneously in all of his different incarnations and expansions, and he's the same person. There's not many gods. I mean, we got so many inconceivable things to sort of like explain to people. But he's God. God means he's beyond our logic. He's not limited by our logical calculation. So, all right. So we got another 3 minutes. So any questions or comments? Mother Ermila. Yeah.
And your answer is, well, because he's God.
Yeah. Because he's God. But people don't, they want to fit God within their whole logical scheme. You know, that really doesn't satisfy them. Well, I say, well, he's God, he's beyond time and space. Well, the scientists do not accept that anything can be beyond the laws of cause and effect. You know, so to them, that's a cop-out explanation. You know, he can do anything. You know, that's explaining something. What is that, circular reasoning or something? Explaining something by what it is. He can do anything because by his nature, he can do anything.
It's called victory. It's a logical fallacy of victory by definition.
Yeah, victory by definition. So that's why they don't accept that. But so how do we develop that faith? Anyway, yeah, actually I was listening to Prabhupada talk about faith. He said, well, in the Bhagavad Gita also, Ashradana Purusha Dharma Shasha Purantapa Prapyamamni Vartate Rajusam Saravartmani, that one who doesn't have faith, then he just returns to birth and death in the material world, and there's no happiness or anything. So how do you develop that faith? And there was a question that I was talking to one devotee yesterday about, and the only way I know of developing that faith, there's several ways actually, is associating with people who have the faith. It's sort of, you have an experience, pratyaksha bhagavam dharmyam shushakam kartam aviyam. That's why when I go out and I talk to people about Krishna consciousness and don't know anything about Krishna consciousness, I don't tell them all this stuff in the beginning. I usually don't take them to the temple. Sorry. Get a little Italian here. So I don't take them to the temple in the beginning. I get them to chant the holy name. Because by chanting the holy name, you know, one person asked me the question yesterday, you know, why do you encourage people to chant and then see what happens? Because by chanting the holy names, then pratyaksha bhagavam dharmyam shushakam kartam aviyam, then they get this experience. And this experience, I told this person, I said, even if you have no belief, and actually Prabhupada said that doubt is the sign of what? Intelligence. So we can say that to an intelligent person, that doubt, it's good you're doubtful, but doubt also means that you shouldn't reject this out of hand. You know, doubtful, don't trust yourself either. Have doubt in yourself. So try it and see what happens and see what you experience. And then the experience increases the faith, and also the perception or seeing people who are following the process and seeing how they're developing these saintly qualities increases the faith. So anyway, sorry I didn't get it. Yeah, prasadam cookie, or they'll chant, try chanting. I tell them, I tell him, try chanting and come back tomorrow and tell me what you feel.
The holy name of
Prasad. The holy name of Prasad. Jai Shri Shri Radhika Lokananda. Radhika.
Adi Purusha Tamaham Bhajami Govindam Adi Purusha Tamaham Bhajami Govindam
Adi Purusha Tamaham Bhajami Kandar Bhago Vidamaniya Nishesha Shobha
Jai Ho Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavana. Shri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Moha Shaimakunda Radha Kunda Kire Govinda Shri kalande ja muna jaya jaya ma ha Heshigatapamshivata dvadashakana Shinamane Jaya Jaya Dhenuvat Sagan Jaya Vrishabhanu Jaya Kitina Sunda Vrigve Jaya Purna Masi Jaya Abhira Nagari Jaya Jaya Gopisara Vrindavan Mahaja Jaya Jaya Krishna Saka Bhattu Dvijarava Jaya Rama Gata Jaya Rohini Nanda Jaya Jaya Vrindavana Vatsija Jaya Jaya Dvija Patne Jago Naga Kanya Gago Bhakti Teja Harapaina Govinda Charan Shri Rasa Mangala Jayo Jaya Radha Shagam giant, giant, rasa, lena, savaman, no, ra. Jaya Jala Jala Rasa Sarva Rasa Rasa Parakya Bhave Yang prajate vracha. Shri jana pada padma Korea Smara Dina Krishna Daza Kohe Namasankirtana Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna Jai Vrindavan Jaya Radha Gorokena Nuradha Gorokena Nuradha Jaya Radha Gorokena Nuradha Gorokena Nuradha Hey, Radhe, 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 Radhe 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 Jai Radhe Radhe Jai Sri Radhe Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parabhitakacharya also tethers Shri Shiva, His Divine Grace of Ayachananda Vakravananda Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananda Goti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prince Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha, Sri Vasadi Gaur Vata Vrindagajai, Sri Sri Radhakrishna, Gopi Gopatna, Sayam Kunda, Radhakunda, Gidi Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturidam Kijai, Jagadavasami Kijai, Yamunavai Kijai, Srimati Lasadevi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindagajai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Om. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastai Buddha Shri Madhavati Vananda Swami Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vichani Namasesis Nirvati Paschata Dejatarni. All glories to Radha Krishna and the divine forest of Vrindavan. All glories to the three presiding deities of Vrindavan, Sri Govinda, Gopinath, and Madana Mohan. All glories to Shyamakun, Radhakun, Govardhan Hill, and the Yamuna River, Kalindi. All glories to the great forest known as Mahavan. All glories to Keshigat, the Vamsivat tree, and the 12 forests of Braja. At these places, the son of Nanda, Sri Krishna, performed all of his pastimes. All glories to Krishna's divine father and mother, Nanda and Yashoda. All glories to the coward boys headed by Sri Rama. All glories to the cows and calves of Braja. All glories to Radha's divine father and mother, Vrishabhanu and the beautiful Kirtida. All glories to Purnamasi, the mother of Sandipani Muni. All glories to the young coward maidens of Braja. All glories to Gopishwara Shiva, resides in Vrindavan in order to protect the holy Dham. All glories to Krishna's funny Brahmin friend Madhu Mangal. All glories to Ramagat, where Lord Balaram performed his rasa dance. All glories to Lord Balaram, the son of Rohini. All glories to all the residents of Vrindavan. All glories to the wives of the proud Vedic Brahmanas. All glories to the wives of the Kaliya serpent. Through their pure devotion, they all obtain the lotus feet of Lord Govinda. All glories to the place where the rasa dance of Sri Krishna was performed. All glories to Radha and Shyam. All glories to the divine rasa dance, which is the most beautiful of all Krishna's pastimes. All glories to the mellow of conjugal love, which is the most excellent of all rasas, and is propagated in Braj by Sri Krishna in the form of the divine Parakya Bhava. Remembering the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda's consort, Sri Janava Devi, this very fallen and lowly servant of Krishna sings the Sankirtan of the holy name. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami Ki Jai. Okay, Sri Shastika. Mitzvahs. Vijayavada Jivanam, Anandam Bodhi Parnam, Anam Pranam Vitas Fadanam. No, not the direct disciple. He associated with her. She came to Vrindavan, but he's not the initiated disciple of her. Namadina, Yitinya Sadari.